This audio presentation is the teaching of Walt Manise of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Image is Everything, was delivered on March 7th, 2021. Here now is Walt Manise.
You guys got me? Ah, oh, there I am. Hey! Good morning, everybody. Woo! So happy to see your smiling faces out here in the sanctuary today, and also your smiling faces out there in Facebook land. Joe, I see you smiling. I know you're smiling, Joe. But like Pastor Scott said, me and my wife have been coming here for about a year now. And wow, how the time has just flown by. We started out, God had put it on my heart, because we're in a small home church, and he had put it in my heart to seek out a men's group. So that's how I first got hooked up with the church, was through Mike Callen and getting involved with the men's church. And then my wife, in turn, got involved with the women's ministry, and we started to, meet a lot of you. And then last year at the anniversary time, we were like, you know what? Hey, let's go and go to celebrate the anniversary with the people at New Hope East Hawaii. And when we walked into this place and we realized how many of you we knew, I mean, that we had developed relationships with, that we had prayed with, that we had learned lessons with. And we were like, hey, hi, how's it going? Hey, good to see you. Hey. And it was like being home. Totally blown away. And and I looked at my wife and I'm like, babe, we home. This is home. And God has just been moving so much in us, growing and developing us, and we've been, being discipled by Pastor Scott, and he's just been pouring so much into our lives, and we're so grateful. And we're grateful for each one of you here today, and the relationships that we have built over this year. And we look forward to, living life with you, not just here and now, but into eternity. Amen. So what I want to talk to this morning is image is everything. Talking about your image. Like when you think image, you kind of think, maybe self-image, how you see yourself, or how other people see you. You can either have a good self-image that exudes confidence, or exudes positivity, or you could have a bad self-image that could end up making you, introverted, shy, or sometimes defensive and aggressive. But what I want to talk to you about this day is our created image. The image that God created in us. The way we see ourselves also affects the way we see the world around us. Whether we're going to be put off by people, or whether we're going to be engaged and be a light in this world. It all comes back to our created image. We look at, what that original image was, how it was lost, and the results of that loss, but ultimately, how to get it back and to walk in it. See, because God didn't base your life on the things that you have done. He based your life on what he created you to be, what he created you for. He knows why he made man. We have a destiny and a purpose with God. Because, when he was going through creation, it's not like he was just fussing with some dirt, happened to breathe on it, and boop, he was like, whoa, that's cool. I think I'll call it man. No, the Bible said he created us with a purpose. He thought about it, In Genesis, he says, in 26, he says, let us make man in his image. And the very next verse, he said, he made man as it is. He didn't think about it for long. He thought about it, and he made it happen. He says, we were created in the image of God. Genesis 26 to 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Not that we look like him, although some of us look more like him than others. But it is his likeness, his character, his nature. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. He created him male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. There is our purpose. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it, over the feathers, the fish, the fins, and the feet, and over every living thing. So we're created in his likeness, the fullness of God in man. And he commanded us to be fruitful and multiply. Not just to go have a bunch of kids, but to be fruitful, filled with the fullness of God. The fruit of the Spirit is, in Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fullness of God in man. That was his original plan, was for us to multiply that image, the image of God in man, and fill the earth. It wasn't just about having a bunch of kids. It's about duplicating that image, multiplying that image of God within man, and filling the earth with his glory. That was the original plan. But then something happened. In slide two, we realize the image of God in man was lost. In Genesis 2:25, and then man and his wife were both naked, but they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed originally in the garden. In chapter 2, how they talk about, you know, he gives a recount of all of creation, how he created the animals, and then how he put Adam to sleep, and he made woman from her rib. So God was in fellowship with his creation, with his children, in the cool of the day. He walked with them. He talked with them. They were not ashamed. But here comes Genesis 3. The serpent comes into the garden and it starts nyow, 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 nyow to Eve. You know, Tanner, did God really say he was going to die if you ate the tree? Nah, I don't think you're really going to die, because he don't want you to know what he knows. Now, did Adam and Eve lack anything in the garden? Being in the fullness of God, being in communion with their father, were they lacking anything? No. They were lacking the knowledge of good and evil. That's what they were lacking. So Genesis 3, she took of its fruit, the tree, and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then their eyes, both of them, were open. And the good old boy translation says, and they realized they were naked, y'all. They realized it for the first time. They became self-conscious. And here comes God coming to kick it with his kids in a garden. Adam, where you at? They had sold fig leaves because of their shame, and they were hiding themselves. God's like, Adam, where you at? And Adam comes on and says, Lord, we heard you coming, and we were ashamed because we were naked. God looks at him and says, who told you you was naked? Who told you that? Then he asks him a question. It's a yes or no question. It's a yes or no question. Did you eat the tree? Yes or no? It was a yes or no question. But what did he say? What did he say? The woman you gave me, she made me to eat. And he goes to the woman. Woman, what have you done? It was the serpent. See? Yes or no question. Did you eat the tree? Look, Lord. It was the woman you gave me. If you didn't give it a woman, probably wouldn't have ate the tree. So it's between you and her. And so God goes, woman, what was it? She's like, it wasn't me. The devil made me do it. They became self-conscious, self-aware. When they're just another chapter ago, they were just fully conscious of God and filled with his glory. See, they didn't die when they ate the tree. The image and the spirit of God in man died. We became separated from the source of love. And we became self-conscious, self-defending, and in need of love. When Adam ate the tree, he didn't physically die. We know that. The way the world is today, it is reflected because of that disobedience. It's dog eat dog. Every man for himself. Get all you can all you get, and sit on a can. The big problem with this world is every morning people wake up living at the expense of others. It's all about me, myself, and I. And I'm only doing as good as you are doing me. It's living from the wrong image. And the emotions that we think are normal come from this self-centered foundation. It is us thinking for ourselves. That's why we get angry, frustrated, put down, hurt, rejected, and furious. We didn't get those emotions from God. We got them from the fall of man. We were all born into Adam, and we must be born again. God didn't make man that way. He made us in his image. So, are we pursuing God for what we can get from him, rather than pursuing God to be transformed by him, to become the very thing he created us to be from the beginning? Jesus did not pay the radical price he paid just to forgive our sins and for blessing. It was to put his life back inside of us, to put his image back inside of us, and to fill us with his spirit. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Not who, that, the thing that was lost, the image of God in man. That's what he came to seek and to save. Number three, we have been reconciled in Christ. Access to our created image was restored. Colossians 1:21 to 22. "And although you were previously alienated and hostile in attitude, engaged in evil deeds, living for yourself, yet he, Jesus, has now reconciled you in his body of flesh through death, in order," here it comes, "to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach." That's how we stood at the garden, holy, set apart, blameless, and above reproach. God sees you as holy and blameless and beyond reproach, like you were back in the garden and had never eaten the tree, because of the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. God loves you so much that he would send his own son to fulfill what man failed, to model a life we were created for, die, raise from the dead, sit forever at the right hand of the Father with his blood on the mercy seat, speaking better things over your lives. And he didn't say, "Just sing to me or pray to me." He said, "Follow me. The things I do, you'll do if you believe." He said, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." 1 John 4 says, "As he," Jesus, "is, so are we in this world." Matthew 16:24, "If any man," that's the good thing, "if any man or woman," that means we all included, "if any man come after me, he must first deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Know that you are a child of God And he loves you with an everlasting love. He sees you not for your past, but for what he created and the purpose he put you on this earth to fulfill. You need to realize that it's not about you. It's about pursuing God's image in you. Let's not, when we pick up, what it means by to pick up his cross is to bear, you know, to bear that burden, to walk in a darkness, to deny yourself, you know, to die, to reckon yourself dead to sin and alive unto God. And not let sin against you produce sin in you. Reckon yourself dead to sin. And we walk in the newness of life and not succumb to the lust of the flesh. Number four, how are we going to do that? We got to put out the old and put in the new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, you can't put new wine into old wineskin because it don't jive. The wineskin is going to burst and the new wine is just going to be spilled. You cannot put a new patch of new material on an old clothing, because what's going to happen? The new patch is going to shrink a little bit and it's going to tear apart from the old, and you're going to left with a bigger hole. With a bigger puka. So we gotta walk in the newness of life. We can't just incorporate Jesus into our lives. You know, we got our work, we got our family stuff, we got our hobbies, and then I put a sprinkle of little Jesus on Sunday. No. He must become our lives. He must be put at center stage. Like each one of us, we talk about thrones and altars, right? Thrones is where the king sits. Altars is where you put the sacrifice, right? In our lives, we have those same two things. We have a throne and we have an altar. Are you sitting on the throne? Where is Jesus? Is he on the altar? Why don't we take our rightful place and put Jesus on the throne so that we can lay our lives down and be placed on the altar? Another thing we got to do is we need to cancel our subscription to issues. For it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Colossians 3, 8 through 10. But now, see, new stuff. But now, something new is about to happen. But now, you also rid yourselves of all of them. Anger, wrath, malice, obscene speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, because you have stripped off the old self with its evil practices. See, God said, don't manage it. Don't try to get counseling for it. Put it off. Put it to death. A lot of us, we go over to performing CPR on some of our bad habits. Trying to revive them, bringing them back to life. No, the old man is dead. We need to put him off. We need to put him to death. Realize he's dead and buried. And we need to walk in the image that God has created us to walk in. And put on, now that you put off the old, put on new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created it. The whole reason we have flesh is not to sin and fail. It is to manifest what's inside of you. So ask, what is inside of you? What are you manifesting? Does it look more like Christ? Or does it look more like the world? Something that needs to be put to death. You know, the amazing thing is, an orange. When you squeeze an orange, what do you expect to get? Orange juice. Squeeze an apple, what do you get? Apple juice. When you squeeze a Christian, what do you expect to get? You should be getting Christ. When you squeeze a Christian, when he comes under persecution, under pressure, what should be coming out? The image of God, not the world. The whole reason we have flesh is to manifest what's inside of you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. God gave man flesh to act out what is on the inside. You clean the inside of the cup, and the cup is made clean. You make the tree good, and the fruit he produces is good. And you will know them by their fruit. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth with the image of God. And finally, closing with Colossians 3, 12 to 15. So, as though who have been chosen, guess what? God chose you. Holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgive each other, whoever has complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you so much, so much you do also. In addition to all these things, put on love. Put on love. Why love? Because love doesn't seek its own. Love takes no account of the suffered wrong against it. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love never fails. For it is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body. And be thankful. So that's what we need to, I challenge you to examine your hearts. Examine your motives. Realize how God sees you. Walk in the light, not trying to be holy. Understanding that God, through the blood of Jesus, sees you as holy, sees you as beloved, sees you as above reproach. And he calls us to walk in the light as he is in the light. Don't be afraid to step into that light. Because what does the light expose? The darkness in us. The thing that must be put to death. And that's what we take before the Father in prayer. You know, when you're pursuing God, you know, would it be great just to wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord. I thank you that I am your child. I thank you that you are my Father. I thank you that by the blood of Jesus, I can stand before you holy, righteous, and above reproach, Father God. I thank you that I'm not an angry man. I thank you that I'm not a selfish man. I thank you that sin no longer has dominion over my life. For I am pursuing your image. That is communion. That is covenant. That is back in a garden, walking in the cool of the day. Becoming what God has created you to be. Walking in the newness of life. And that's how we walk it out. We walk it by faith. Because the just shall live by faith. Father God, I thank you for this house, Lord. I thank you for the privilege of speaking your word to your people. I thank you for the love that you have for each of us here. Even though we're struggling, Lord, we know that we are empowered by you not to try to get a better day, Father God, but to look more like you so that we can respond like you, Father, so that we can be lights in this world and fill it with your image, with your intended purpose. Father God, we thank you for what you're calling us to, Lord God. I know a lot of us may be struggling and not there, but let us not be discouraged, but let us have hope for what you're calling us to, because now we have a target, Lord. And we know it's to look day in and day out more and more like Jesus. Help us to die to ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow you. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory, because it is due you and you alone. And in Jesus' holy, mighty name we pray. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Wald. Thank you for really clearing up that how God's image in us was lost. But because of Jesus, he came to seek and save that which was lost, which was the image. Thank you so much for that powerful word. We're going to take communion. Everybody got your communion cups? Anybody doesn't have one? Oh, we need one in the back row over there. Anybody else? You got it? All right, here comes Pastor Frank to lead us in communion. Would you welcome our brother, Pastor Frank?
Thank you, Pastor Scott. Hey, one more. Word welcome. Excellent. Man, we got to put them on the speaking schedule, I think so. Yeah, folks? Yeah? Yeah, I'm seeing people nod, yeah. Hey, we just increase his anxiety right off the bat. Just sign him up right now. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because there's a lot of Sundays we can use a word like that. And I was sitting there listening, and it was actually... it was amazing for me because in doing communion, I wrote down a few notes about what I wanted to share, and I'll get to that. But you gave almost this perfect segue into why we have communion, because we were separated from God, right? And he gave us this practice that he commanded us to do this, to remember him, to draw us near to him, and as Walt was saying, of cleansing the cup, right? So when we eat of his body and we drink of his blood, it's cleansing us, it's renewing that spirit or image that God wants us to grasp and wear. Yeah, it's I was talking with my wife about some of the interventions and strategies that we use at school with some of the kids, and I told her, look, I'm going to use a term that we don't use in therapy, but those of us in the military understand this thing, and it's called stress inoculation. And what it basically means is you are exposed to stressful situations, stress, anxiety, challenges, whatever, fill it in. But you do that often enough that you become inoculated to the effects, the negative effects of what that stress produces, right? Which is that anger, which is that malice, which is that frustration, which is that inability to stay calm and composed in the middle of all the opala. And that's exactly the image that God wants us, those characteristics, to hold on to, so that when we're getting squeezed, the fruit of that squeeze production is Christ's juice, not the world's. Yeah? So, I mean, I'm glad I didn't write it down, because I'd be going through a whole nother sermon on this stuff. That was excellent. Oh, Lord. So here's what I wrote down as we roll in, right? We know why we're here. Communion Sunday, the first Sunday of each month, we take a few moments to revisit and renew ourselves by taking communion, a command that God, Jesus shared with us. And we remember God has fed us several times in the Bible, I wanted to point out. We remember the story in Exodus about the Israelites grumbling, right? Becoming part of the world, pissed off, angry, and mad. We should have just stayed in Egypt where we could eat and do what we want. And yeah, we got beat every now and then, but we had what we needed. So they're grumbling. Of course, they're hungry. They're hangry, right? They're hangry. So God gives them manna, right? The manna. And the Bible tells us in different areas, the manna wasn't just this bread. It was almost a wafer that, you know, that it was there after the dew in the morning left, and it was like glistening on the ground, and it was honey flavored. So I mean, it had some taste to it. It had a little flavor to it, and it was meant to sustain them. And they were happy, of course, right? No, they continued to bitch. They was grumbling. They was still angry. So God said, "Shoots, I'll give you some meat." So remember, he gave some quail. I don't know if any of you are hunters or if you've had quail. It's a rather interesting, you know, meat to eat. It's nice. It's good. It's tasteful. So in Exodus also, God provided quail, and they were happy. No, they weren't. They continued to grumble. So all the way through, we grumble. That's what we do. You know, I know in the Marine Corps they told us we're not happy unless we're grumbling. And so we must be really happy because we're always grumbling. But then Jesus came along. And Jesus was like, really, Lord, I got to deal with these grumbling, ungrateful, snotty peoples. That's what he was probably thinking, because he didn't produce that to us. We deserve that. But remember in there, in John, Jesus says he is what? The bread of life. So we move from actually physical food and nourishment, which we needed, into Jesus being the representation and the actual bread of life. He is what will sustain us. He is what will allow us to be producing what the characteristics of God has asked of us. So in John chapter 6, Jesus speaks as being the bread of life. So for our purposes today, I'm going to be in Matthew 26. So as we know in Matthew, it's the Last Supper. It's Passover. There, Jesus and the disciples are gathered, and he's going through who's going to deceive him, and he's kind of in his own head knowing that, hey, Jesus knows he's well on this path to becoming sacrificed for us. And he's there with his disciples, but he gives them, again, one more opportunity to become the image, yeah? And it's, sorry, that song, is playing my Made in the Image. Who sings that? I forget. Made in the Image of God. That Irish or some dumb. But the song is playing in my head, Image of God. But anyway, Matthew, Jesus was there with his disciples, and they ate, they broke bread, you know, they had dinner. But then he gets to the point near the end, and he's going to go through the steps that we are going to go through today. So basically, he took the bread, and he broke it, and he passed it out. Hold on, I gotta catch up here, folks, because I never set mine up. So get your bread or your wafer. It's like childproof here. No, I just don't want to slip it on the ground. Hold on. Okay. So when dinner was done, yeah, Jesus took the bread, said, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which is broken and given up for you. So we can take of the bread. Then Jesus took the cup and he said, this is my blood, which will be shed for you. Drink this in remembrance of me. So he gave us the cup to drink. Let's go ahead and take of the cup. That was yummy. So that is our participation that Jesus tells us. And we've got representation. You can read in the Bible right there. The worship team can come up. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke. And in, I think, 1 Corinthians 11, I believe there's also the recount of the Last Supper. But we were just participating in this. So I want to close in this real quick and just in a short prayer. Father, thank you for the message that Brother Walt shared with us today, Lord. It really was just, I don't know, I felt like I was the only one in here that you were talking to. And I thank you for that, to have me let the other parts of this world die, and that I need to put you on that throne, keep you on that throne, put myself and my life and my desires on the altar, because I know when they burn, it's a sweet sacrifice to you, Lord God, and you make beautiful things from our sacrifice. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, to participate in communion with you very frequently, to remind you of what you've done for us, what you continue to do for us, and securing my place with you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, James, all you.
We want to see, we want to see, we want to see Jesus lifted high. We want to see, we want to see,
We wanna see Jesus lifted high.
You've been listening to Walt Moniz of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.